The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to celebrityqb.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. I am your host, Dwayne Callender. A lot of things happening in the world of sports. I know I've been down the last couple of days with the Giants and whatnot, but got to get back my head into the game because we got quite a bit to talk about today. So we got Premier League action going on. We also have a lot of college conference championship games going on for college football. We got the NFL coming up, but first, I want to talk about this really out there rumor that's going around, but the fact that it's getting harder and harder to debunk it, I think I have to talk about it at this point. It's just such a far out there story, but, you know, this is kind of crazy, but we're going to talk about Conor McGregor. Yeah, so basically, Conor McGregor may have instigated a brawl with Irish gangsters and may have a $900,000 bounty on his head. So let's peel back the story on this one. So apparently, the backstory on this is one of McGregor's friends, who happens to be in a gang, was beaten up by members of another gang that with ties to the Kinahane crime cartel. So Conor decided to take matters into his own hands, was at a bar with the other crime family, and decided to beat the snot out of the guy who beat up his friend. So word got back to the Kinahanes that of what went down, and lo and behold, within the next 2 days, because this story started emerging Wednesday, the initial reports, come Friday, Conor's not actually in the country. It looks like Conor's abroad, but he's hiding out in the Canary Islands, a place called Lanzarote, while his father is dealing with the cartel. Now, the issue was that he apparently came back in to face a speeding charge. So Conor's response wasn't to actually deny the allegation that he's got a cartel bounty on his head. He basically stated, "Come and get me," to the mob. Now, again, this, we've already talked about Conor McGregor in the past, about how he made $100 million from the Mayweather fight, seems to be bored out of his mind, has a quick trigger temper, and yes, can talk himself in and out of any situation. the fact that you're mixed up with the mob is never a good thing. I mean, Dana White seems to be beside himself because he's trying to promote the UFC, but is constantly answering questions about Conor McGregor, and he has no control over him. There's no way Dana White can be remotely happy with the situation. WMEIMG, the new venture capital owners of the UFC, can't be happy because not only can McGregor not fight because of the nonsense he got involved with over at the Bellator event a little over a month ago with the referee Mark Goddard, you can't have your star sport tied up with. Okay, he's not in the mix with the mob, but pissing off the mob may be even worse than getting mixed up with him with any kind of business dealings. I mean, the fact that you're trying to pay off the mob, allegedly, to avoid getting to avoid having a hit still tied to your head. I mean, I don't care who you are. This is about the last thing you need after you've already made your money. So. Again, I had to start off with this one because this story was just so far out there that I had to bring it up. It's just, I mean, and when I first heard this story, I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I heard of. Then the more you actually started reading up on the details of what actually transpired, the more it made sense that this is exactly some nonsense Conor McGregor would get mixed up in. So we're going to move on to a couple of other items. So in coaching news, we have further developments in the raging dumpster fire that is the Tennessee coaching search. And this one's a doozy. So Tennessee has not fired their AD, Mr. Curry, who was hiring Schiano in the first place. I told you Curry was not long for the role, and he basically lasted less than a week after the Schiano mess occurred. And the next name to appear is, lo and behold, former Tennessee head coach Phil Fulmer. So, Phil Fulmer has been removed from Tennessee for 9 years, and he has not forgotten that fact. In fact, most people were saying that Fulmer was actually sabotaging the head coaching search from the start, because he was trying to get the AD job from John Curry. So, for those of you who weren't keeping track of the Tennessee coaching search this week, they had reached out to pretty much everyone, their mother, and anyone that might still be alive that could actually coach the team, all to be denied pretty much every single time. So, they reached out to current coaches. They reached out to Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State, even though he's had a great job. They were reaching out to Jimbo Fisher. They were reaching out to even crappy coaches like Dave Dorn at North Carolina State. They all were passing. So in terms of everything that was going on, part of the reason why this process was dragging out, so guys like Kevin Sumlin and Mike Leach, who's still over at Washington State, they were still available for even an interview, but part of it was that these guys weren't even being contacted because the infighting at Tennessee was going on. Now, the issue, it goes back to the fact that Phil Fulmer was given a job as special assistant to the AD, John Curry. Curry, back 9 years ago when Fulmer was the head coach of the team, was an assistant athletic director under the former athletic director, Mike Hamilton, who fired Fulmer. So, again, you named a guy a special assistant to the current guy in charge who is part of the staff that fired your special assistant. Of course this was never going to go well. I mean, Tennessee acts like a dog that eats its own excrement and then smiles at you thinking that you're going to accept kisses from it. It's like, no one wants to be anywhere near Tennessee right now. And I can't blame them, but in terms of the fan base, they're frustrated because they're looking at this and saying, hey, it can't be any worse at this point going with Fulmer because Fulmer's old school. He may just circle the wagons and just try to bring in anyone who is tied to him and his program back in the early 90s to lead him back out of it. I mean, the one name that I say might be able to get the job, because Leach is definitely not going there now with Fulmer in charge. I'd be shocked. Any well-tenured coach is not going to have Phil Fulmer there to undermine him, because, I mean, honestly, Phil has his ways, and a lot of the game has changed since Fulmer was in charge running the offense that Peyton Manning made famous. Now, you got a chance to see potentially T. Martin, who's an offensive coordinator over at UFC, make the transition over to become a head coach. He's gotten high marks. But that's literally the only name possible at this point that could even salvage what has to go down as the most dysfunctional coaching hiring process in NCAA history. I mean, the amount of infighting and just sheer lack of focus amongst Tennessee, this is just not even amongst the fan base. This is amongst the boosters. The boosters can't even get on the same page with each other. So you have the Haslam family meddling. You've got all these senior boosters mad at the Haslams, and nothing's getting done here. So at this point, Tennessee has to circle the wagons, and even if you don't agree with the fact that Fulmer knows what he's doing and what's best for the program, you have to at least let him run with it, because at the end of the day, You don't have a choice. It's like it could be a sinking ship, but at least the ship has to go in a direction. Right now, Tennessee's just like circling a drain and it's going nowhere. So that's the state of Tennessee right now. It could be going to a lousy destination where you're gonna get shipwrecked on an island, but at least it's a direction. Because right now, Tennessee again is cratering to the bottom of the ocean, and they can't afford to do that when they're in the SEC. The SEC won't tolerate it, and they can't get kicked out of the SEC. So they got to figure out something, and you know what? They have to be all hands on deck with Fulmer now. He got his job, so anyone who's against Fulmer, they better suck it up and like it, because, like I said, any further infighting is basically going to tank any shot of a turnaround in this program in the next 5 years. So that's basically where Tennessee is at the moment. Now, moving on to the actual teams that matter today. We got a couple of games on hand here. Last night we had USC winning the Pac-12 championship game over Stanford. Good game there. You had Sam Darnold making some throws. I'm sure the Giants organization was happy with what they saw, considering that they're literally trying to do everything possible at this point to tank the remaining games to get a look at a guy like Darnold, because at this point, everyone knows the Giants are taking a top pick for the first round. So at the end of the day, you know, you're looking at every one of these QBs as a potential target for the Giants. Now, a couple other games that are on tap here. You've got the American Athletic Conference Championship game between undefeated UCF versus Memphis. UCF's looking to become 12-0. They're ranked number 12 in the country. They don't have a shot at the playoff. They're going to complain about the fact that how unfair this process is. The only thing UCF can do to at least make their case that much more sustainable, even though they have no shot at making the playoff, is to absolutely blow the doors off of Memphis. Memphis is a solid team. They got really good squad. UCF's favored by 7.5. The only reason why I'd be picking UCF to cover that is the fact that they need to win with style points. They can't have a tight game. They can't have this game be back and forth. Even though it'd be entertaining, it would just kind of solidify the point that UCF's just on another tier below the major Power 5 conferences. Even though the American is technically a Power 5 conference, it is not viewed as such. So, UCF needs to win big. Meanwhile, You've got Florida State in what was supposed to be a tune-up game against Louisiana Monroe, which has now become a maudlin affair as Jimbo Fisher bolted out of town faster than you could say dodge. And, I mean, this was on the wall for a solid month that Jimbo was looking and angling for a big money deal to get out of Florida State. And that if you could meet his price, he would gladly bolt to your program. Now, he was being questioned by this for months leading up to it, but the last month made it pretty clear that Florida State knew that they were probably going to lose him. I mean, even the day before the announcement came on Friday that they wanted him to make a decision as soon as possible because the recruits were starting to decommit from the program. So, and what can only be described as like one of those callous ways of leaving town, Jimbo leaves town and has the Christmas tree tossed out on the lawn to be picked up like the like common garbage. I mean, they packed up their stuff and got out of there. I mean, but he leaves Florida State for the Texas A&M job, and this is just a mammoth deal. Not because it's Texas A&M, but the fact that Jimbo Fisher is going to be the highest paid coach in college sports with a 10-year, $75 million deal. $75 million. You know what? I can't blame Jimbo. If you're getting paid that much money, yeah, you gotta bolt down. Because it's one thing where you're saying, I want job security for the rest of my life. It's another thing when you're getting $75 million, that's go away and I'm good selling out. Because you can never make the speech to a student ever again if you're in his house with his parents that it's about honor and commitment when you just sold out for $75 million. Hey, you sold out your credibility, but you made $75 million. I don't want to hear the talk about him talking about student athletes because Jimbo took the money. I don't blame him for taking the money, but I don't want him lecturing teenagers about the how they shouldn't look to take the money from the pros. I mean, with deals like that, it just goes to show the hypocrisy in college sports at this point. Because everyone keeps saying that, oh, the players, we can't figure out a way of getting the players paid because it would just screw up all the athletics. You got coaches making $5 million a year easy now. Jimbo's making $7.5 million and is going to be making over the course of that tenure, unless, of course, he hops off to a bigger job with an even bigger paycheck, he's pocketing $75 million cash. I mean, I honestly, there's no way to go around it. And again, Texas, you're not getting nearly this. Even though Florida has the same protocols, you're not getting the taxes that you would in other states. So, I mean, just the sheer amount of cash involved for just college athletics, it's preposterous. But, I mean, again, I don't blame Jimbo for taking the money, but the lecturing of student athletes and the importance of college and just how much you need to be committed to the team versus preparing for the pros, I mean, I don't want to hear that argument anymore. We've so far passed the tipping point of whether this is actual sports versus professional sports. There's no difference between college and the pros. The only difference is the fact that college still puts up the pretense that these are student athletes. They are unpaid professionals, coached by guys making just as much, if not more money, than professional coaches do. That's it at the end of the day. So that's the way I'm looking at it. But getting into the division that Jimbo's heading to, the SEC, we've got the SEC title game between Georgia and Auburn. Now, 2 weeks ago, Auburn beat the ever-loving snot out of Georgia. I mean, Georgia was undefeated. Auburn came in, smacked them around, and it was not close. Auburn then went on to beat Alabama to make it to the title game. Georgia has a chance to punch its ticket to the college football playoff by winning the SEC title game. Auburn can also punch its way into the college football playoff with a win. Somebody's getting in. Now, the doomsday scenario that people are arguing that could happen is if Georgia wins convincingly and Auburn drops out of it completely with three losses, does Alabama somehow sneak back into this picture? To me, yes, Alabama lost the game. But at a certain point, you know, you got to win your games. And if you weren't in the championship game, that makes a big difference. Auburn beat you up. If Georgia comes back and puts a win on Auburn, I think Auburn wins this game outright. But if Georgia somehow wins, what are you going to do? Are you going to say that, oh, we're going to leave out the Big Ten winner because we got to figure out a way of keeping Alabama in? I mean, right now, we're looking at a scenario of if Georgia wins this game tonight, Georgia gets in, but people are going to try to argue that Alabama should be in as well. I mean, because right now, the way it's currently set up, you got Clemson at number one, Auburn's two, Oklahoma's three, Wisconsin's four. Oklahoma's playing TCU today. I expect them to roll over TCU. I just don't think TCU's that good. So I'm going to pencil Oklahoma in. Clemson has a matchup against Miami. And I love Miami just because it's always fun talking about the U, but Clemson's a much better team. Clemson should roll. So that's two spots down. Number the third spot would be the SEC title game winner between Auburn and Georgia. Whoever gets in there, that would be three. Number four is Wisconsin. Wisconsin's playing Ohio State tonight. Wisconsin's undefeated. I can't see Ohio State beating Wisconsin. I've seen this story too many times with Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State's a contender. I think they're a pretender. I just don't see it in them. Now, Wisconsin's strength of schedule has been abysmal. But, again, I'm not going to penalize Wisconsin for having a terrible schedule when no one else in the Big Ten has been able to beat them. Now, if they come out and lay an egg against Ohio State, okay, fine. You can make a case for Alabama. But don't tell me that if Wisconsin wins out, you're going to try to sneak in Alabama somehow into this title game when they didn't win anything. And they got beat by a team that Georgia beat to avenge their loss. So Georgia would be in there, and Wisconsin would be in with a win over Ohio State, and that's the end of the argument. Alabama's out. I don't want to hear this argument about, oh, it's unfair for Alabama to be left out when they only lost one game. Guess what? They lost it at the worst time of the year, so they're out. I mean, there's only so many teams that can fit into the playoffs. Now, if anyone loses today, whether it's Oklahoma or Clemson, fine. You can make a case. Wisconsin loses, yeah, you can make a case. Alabama gets in there. No problem. But if everyone wins out, the winner between Auburn and Georgia gets in. There is no further discussion about this matter. The case is done. So Nick Saban can complain all he wants about how unfair the process is, but, I mean, it is what it is. You lost a chance to control your own destiny, and now you got to live with the consequences. So that's the college football mix in a nutshell today. So Wisconsin is actually the underdog to Ohio State, which, again, I just don't get. I really don't get it. I mean, people are so hung up on Ohio State this year, and I just don't see the appeal. I really don't. And, I mean, Urban Meyer's been trying to downplay this because saying how J.T. Barrett had to get arthroscopic knee surgery to clean up the damage caused by what he thought was a cameraman somehow assigned by Michigan. He didn't say it outright, but he was implying it, that Michigan somehow was involved in J.T. Barrett getting injured in the game last week against Michigan. But, again, I think Wisconsin beats Ohio State, and I think Oklahoma's going to roll, and I think, even though I look at Clemson and I think there's always a chance that you could lose, I think they smoke Miami. I really do. So that just leaves the winner in the SEC title game, and that's it. That's your four. And you know, between the two teams, Auburn absolutely dominated Georgia, and I think Kerryon Johnson's the most talented player in this game. But you know, it's one of those situations where sometimes when you thoroughly dominate a team and then you have to play them right back again, you have that little bit of letdown give, and I think that what's going to keep Georgia in this game. I think Auburn wins anyway, but I think it's a much closer game than what people realize. And I know Kerryon Johnson got injured last week against Alabama, so we'll see how he looks today. But I still like Auburn to win this game, but I think it's a lot closer than it was 2 weeks ago. So I think it should be a good SEC title game, and it should keep things interesting. But, I mean, the way I'm looking at it, from everything the way this college football season is shaping up to be, I think Alabama gets left out of the playoff. I don't see an avenue for Alabama to get back into the playoff unless someone loses, and I don't see a loss between Clemson, Oklahoma, or Wisconsin. I really don't. So Nick Saban can complain to whoever he wants with the playoff. It's just the way I look at it. The only other news story today, though, I wanted to touch on was the fact that Aaron Boone has been named the new manager of the New York Yankees. Now, everyone in the media is eating this up because they're telling the story of how Aaron Boone, son of Bob Boone, lived in the clubhouse, played baseball for years. I mean, obviously with his brother, Brett Boone. I mean, all well and good. Aaron Boone has absolutely no managerial experience whatsoever with a team that we just fired Joe Girardi over for not being able to communicate, and we just hired someone with no managerial experience. I don't care how nice of a guy Aaron Boone is off the field. You're trying to tell me that all of a sudden, as a rookie manager, when he has to tell a guy that he's got to sit him down in the lineup, that's going to be communicated well. I just don't understand these teams. We just saw this nonsense with the New York Giants play out, where you promote a guy that you really weren't sure was head coaching material, and how quickly it imploded with Ben McAdoo. Once things started going sideways, how quickly his character folded, and how quickly a team could turn on him. You know, I'm not saying that's going to happen with the Yankees, but it's a really young team. And the one thing I'm worried about with the Yankees is you start reading your own press clippings and you're young, you start actually thinking you're hot, you know what, and things can go sideways real fast once things don't start going your way, and you want to have a steadier hand to at least keep guys honest. And so what I kind of look at it and say that, you have a potential for the Yankees to be one of the bigger disappointments in baseball next year, and I could strictly attribute it to the fact that you've got a rookie manager trying to learn the ropes on the fly, trying to be everyone's best friend. Yeah, he may listen to the analytics because guess what? He doesn't have any cachet. Brian Cashman and the rest of the Yankees front office can tell him what to do, and he's got to execute it because that's the game plan he's sticking by. It didn't work out so great for the Dodgers. It worked out all right for the Astros. Yeah, you can let the analytics run your entire team, but we saw it countless times in this World Series where judgment calls should have been made, and we let analytics kind of dictate how it was going to go. Yeah, understand why certain decisions were made? Yeah, but there were some decisions that should have been made by the Dodgers just by field of vision alone. Why weren't they made? Is it because you strictly adhere to the data analytics? I really would like the Dodgers to answer that question, but they won't. So I'm curious to see how the Yankees are going to proceed. If they're going to strictly follow the line of thinking that the Dodgers and Astros employed, that we're going to go by the numbers, And the numbers are going to dictate how we operate as a team. And we're not going to use what we see on the field as a barometer of how things should be applied. You know, good luck to them. I kind of shake my head at times because the amount of things that can go wrong in a season, I see where some of the old school players are just shaking their heads. Now, I don't necessarily agree with them that the analytics and stuff is nonsense. I just think it's a tool that should be used. I just don't think it should be your end-all, be-all reference to how you should run a team. So that's the way I'm kind of looking at it. I'm going to get into the NFL a little bit later today slash tonight because we got another championship game. Basically, the way the schedule's laid out is the Big 12 title game, along with the American, is this early afternoon at noon. Then you got the SEC title game at 4 o'clock with Auburn and Georgia, and then the night cap is going to be Clemson, Miami. So you're gonna see some action, and you may see some movement with the actual playoff looks, but I just don't see it happening. I just think Texas is going to roll. You're going to see the SEC title winner, and then Wisconsin is on the deck with Clemson and Miami. So I think with both of those games going on, Alabama's going to be on there watching those games with pins and needles, but at the end of the day, I just don't see an avenue for Alabama to get in there. I don't see those teams losing. So it should be interesting tonight with the games. We got UFC on deck tonight as well with the featherweight strap on the line with Max Holloway and Jose Aldo. So I'll get into that a bit as well later tonight. And I'll recap some of the earlier matchups for college football. So that's all for now. Take it easy, everyone, and have a good day.
It's the most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring 4-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it's always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride, purpose, they stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.